Al, the things that you miss. Can I borrow your tie today?
It's actually Joel's tie that used to light up and sparkle and all that kind of stuff.
Can you all hear me? Okay. All right. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for this day and teach us for the honor and glory of your name. We ask your Spirit to be honored and glorified as well as he teaches us things that, again, are not accurate and truthful. Remove them from our thoughts. We thank you for each one here, and we just praise and glorify you for your Son and for his work on the cross and the resurrection and the new life we have in him. In Jesus' name, amen. I told Dan I appreciated. Oh, thanks, Dan. Thank you. I really appreciated the songs, the choices today. I'll tell you what, there is it's a blessing to see theology come out through some of the hymns. And there are some hymns that have theology that is could be repudiated, but I thought the first song we sang, I Know Whom I Have Believed, was very fitting. And it has been fitting for all of us. Because it starts out with a question, each verse. I know not why God's wondrous grace. Why? To me he hath made known. Nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. Why, God? I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart. Nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. Can you think of the words of that? I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know this, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's our assurance, folks. That's our comfort. Why? How? Are you not glad and overjoyed that he chose you? Even though you don't understand why he chose you? Are we not thankful for grace that we cannot begin to comprehend? We can't. Not on this side of glory. We cannot comprehend except what we see in the person of Jesus Christ and the truth of Scripture. That's all. And there's a lot of hatred against this message. That is something that always amazed me, that there is such an angst and a hatred against something so glorious and marvelous. Did you read the latest article in the paper? Syrian Christians are fighting back against Islamic State jihadis. Have you read that? Did you see that? Christians are being killed en masse and tortured by Islamic State jihadists And children are being beheaded in front of their parents. They're raped and they're burned to death. Now Syriac Christians have decided to join other forces in a just war against Islamic State and make a tough stance of defense against the heinous brutality of the Islamic State. Two years ago, news emerged that some Christian women were leaving behind their jobs, studies, and children to battle the Islamic State. Austria recently became one of the first countries in the world to formally recognize the genocide being committed against Christians in Iraq and Syria. Where's America? What in the world? Seriously? Come on. It's disgraceful. ISIS was ousted from the neighborhood earlier this month as part of the U.S.-backed offensive to defeat the jihadis in the northern Syrian bastion. You know what's interesting? Al made a comment this morning, and I thought, this is where America is. We're worried about how to legalize marijuana while the opiate crisis is going crazy. This is where we are. What pleases the flesh. What pleases my experience while I'm living on the earth in this short time. That's where we are. While people are being ripped apart and shredded to pieces, heads cut off, because of a cause. Thousands of Syriac Christians once lived in Raqqa alongside the Americans and the Kurds and the city's mainly Sunni Arab population, but many fled when ISIS overran the city in 2014. On June 29th of that year, ISIS declared the establishment of a self-styled Islamic caliphate, straddling areas under its control in Syria and neighboring Iraq. Christians could remain in Raqqa if they paid a special tax called the Yisa or converted to Islam, but many chose to flee. Why did they choose to flee? Why? The reality of the fight and the war over who they believe in is why. The Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God means something. Many fighters have tattoos of rosaries linked around their wrists and the word Jesus printed down their forearms. Isn't that interesting? Of all the things and all the tattoos and the nonsense we see printed on people, these fighters chose Jesus. Jesus. It's a war. We are in a war. Oftentimes, though, the distractions are so great, the things that we are beset by, these things of this life, they take our attention and they remove us from Jesus. The real issue. It is He who is the one who has come and given life. It is He who all doctrine centers around. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that has created this incredible surge of angst in the world today, and has always. Jesus. In Titus, we just finished chapter 1, verses 10 through 16. And there's a lot of people, according to verses 2, 15, and 16, who state, we know God. We know Him. We teach about Him. Our heritage is related to Him. We love Him. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus, it's a different story. Completely different story. The character of a man or a woman who has been changed from within is the only way that you can fight for the cause of Christ, and is the only reason you will fight for the cause of Christ, and is the only reason you or I will be beheaded or murdered or martyred, is because of Christ and the work He has done in our lives. That is it. In verse 1 of chapter 2 is one statement, and it's this. But as for you, Titus, you speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Now I'm going to read it a little differently. Titus, as far as you're concerned, the things that you need to discuss and to utter and to proclaim are the things which are consistent with pure teaching. Different. But that's the message. That is the message the Holy Spirit gave to Titus, coming off of 6 or 7 verses where they talked about rebellious men who spent their time teaching and leading new converts in Crete, in various cities, especially those of the circumcision, who had an agenda, who believed they knew God. But the reason they were doing what they're doing was not because they were converted in their hearts. It was not because they knew Christ. It was because their character and their nature had not been changed and overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. They were not new creations. They were teaching law, and they were teaching traditions of men, and they were teaching things that migrated away from law and became things that traditions of their own making and choosing. For this reason, reprove these men severely so they may be sound in the faith, pure in the faith, unadulterated truth. So they will know and understand not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. The truth. And it's the truth of who Christ is and God's grace in bringing Him, as we saw in verses 1 to 4. These individuals profess to know God. That's oida. They didn't know Him experientially. They professed they knew Him intellectually. But they didn't know Him. Not intimately. not uniquely as the Spirit was doing His work in individuals' lives, like He did when He invaded the Apostle Paul's life and totally eradicated everything he ever believed in one moment. And you know, God has not changed His ways. They profess to know God, but by deeds they deny that they are known by God and that they know God. They're denied because of their deeds. They are detestable. That's the word. Detestable. That is the strength of language used for people who looked pretty doggone religious, pretty spiritual, held to a lot of traditions, obeyed law after law, regulation, feast after feast after feast. They're disobedient because they are detestable. They can only be disobedient as a result. And as a result, they are worthless for any good deed. And this is an interesting word because their worthlessness is based on who they are. Inwardly. They're defiled. Their character and their nature. And that's why the Holy Spirit moves Paul into this next statement in chapter 2, verse 1. He says, but Titus, you got to speak the things that are consistent with truth. You can't be set aside teaching things that have to do with law and man's regulations. You can't hold fast to the truth. And the truth is in one person. In Jesus Christ. That's it. All doctrine, all of it encompasses the person of Christ somehow, some way, some shape or form. And it comes from God the Father through Christ the Son and working through the Spirit. And if all of our beliefs and our understanding of truth is not funneled through those three mechanisms, we will run awry in our faith and our belief. Speak the things. Three things in this verse. Three things. Laleo is the word. This is interesting. The Greeks had a multiple list of ways of communicating. Whether it was, and there's different words to express the different ways they communicated, which is rather interesting, actually. They chose one word to lay something out systematically. That was one word. Another word was to answer or respond to a command. They would respond, a different word. Another word was to shed light upon something which you didn't formally know about. A fourth. They made a command to somebody. Do this. And the fifth one is this word. Laleo. It's an interesting word. Because it can be used for in a variety of settings. But what was interesting to me was this word means to chatter. It's talkative. It means to utter something. But as you dig a little deeper, it means rather than holding something back, you let this be known. This is the most important thing you got to talk about. And you don't stop talking. This is what you focus on. You focus on the things that are consistent with pure teaching. Anything mixed with the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is rubbish. So you chatter about what is important and you don't stop talking about it. You talk about it and you talk about it and you keep talking about it. Today in the church, we are discussing so much ridiculous stuff, it's ridiculous. Some of the meetings and board meetings and things that that you hear from, that I've heard from friends, things they talk about in hours of things that they discuss, and the littlest things, you know, the color of the floor, it's... You chatter about it. And the reason why you continue to chatter and talk it up, there's many reasons. Because first of all, and most importantly, it's God's word. It's God's truth. It's God's answer. It's God's way. Whether you understand it or not, just as the song said this morning, I know not why. But there's a reason in your and my heart that we believe and that we come back here every Sunday, in spite of all that's been going on, in spite of all of the different people that have passed and moved, in spite of the challenges and the tests, and in your personal lives and my personal life, there's a reason why we keep coming back. It's because of His grace, His sovereign, incredibly powerful grace that has moved in our hearts and in our lives. And you never, ever, ever will be able to change that. Do you know that? Do you believe that? You cannot. You try to live without His grace. You try to say, I'm done today. I'm walking out. I'm leaving. It's like a friend of mine. Years ago, it's a true story. I was a friend of a guy in grade school. And every day we'd be in church, and his mom and just loved the Lord. Family just loved the Lord from the Morgantown area. She was so gracious, and her husband was just the dearest. And years after that, I found this out later on, but years later when he was in high school, his father came home. He looked at her and he grabbed his Bible and he threw that thing across the room and hit the wall and fell down. He said, I'm done. I'm out. Just like that. And he left. And then, of course, as time goes on and you figure out the details of life and what was going on, sin has a way of doing things to our perspective and our heart. You speak the things which are fitting, things which are consistent with pure teaching, nothing that's watered down. No. It's not grace plus this tradition. It's not law plus a little. It's grace and grace alone. For by grace you have been saved through what? And that not of, that's right, it is God's gift. It is all God's gift. He was to speak, Titus was to just stick with what was consistent with the message of Christ. There was a lot of angst, there was a lot of corrupt theology, a lot of corrupt activity, a lot of corrupt activity that was being taught by these various factions. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:1 through 5. Please just listen. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge, Timothy. You preach the word. Singular. Be prepared in season and out of season. You correct, you rebuke, and you encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires. Is this not where we are today?
This is where we are. To suit their own desires. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear, not what's true. Speak the truth. You teach what aligns with the theology of truth surrounding the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get hung up in all the rat trails. Stick to the message. And I've been going back and I've been reading over and over through the Gospels. The message is very clear. It's about the Lord Jesus, and that is it. It is about Him and Him alone. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths, a Jewish term. But you keep your head in all situations. You've got to guard your mind. Guard your mind. Do not let your mind get sidetracked with this discussion or that discussion or this argument or this tradition or this way of man. You stick to the truth. You keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Isn't it interesting? That's the next thing he says. Endure hardship. How ironic. This fight, this war, is directly related to the truth about our Savior. Expect the hardship, is what he's saying. You're going to be facing it. And I don't think we should expect less. Don't be surprised if the world, what? Hates you. It's a strong word in Greek. Do the work of an evangelist and discharge all the duties of your ministry. And then in 2 Timothy 1:13 and 14, he says, retain the standard of pure words, sound words, which you have heard from me. My hunch is there's a lot of things that it doesn't take long to get passed on one, from one person to the next before you realize, that's not quite how it started, you know? In the faith, listen, this is really good. Retain the standard of sound words, pure words, unadulterated words, incorrupt words, which you have heard from me in the faith. And in the love, which are in who? Christ Jesus. The whole focus of who we are is Christ. He is our identity. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. The treasure. Do you and I recognize the treasure who is in us? Do we hold who we are as a child of God as a treasure? Or do we have our own agenda, but we are grateful. This treasure is who we are. There is no more that matters in this life. There really isn't. And all the things that we go through are reminders. I am at work in you to will and to do of my good pleasure. That is the treasure living in us. Easy to be distracted from that. Paul wrote to Titus, you speak the things fitting for sound doctrine. In all things, You show yourself to be an example of good deeds. What are the good deeds? That's my question to all of us. What are the good deeds that are spoken of over and over and over and over again in this little letter? It's a theme. Good deeds. That's my challenge to you. That's the question. What are the good deeds? Because we're going to start to talk about them next week. Uncorruptible in doctrine, dignified, pure in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Titus was to speak. He was to utter forth and not hold back. Because the message that he held and that he heard from Paul, which Paul directly received through the Spirit, was all that really matters. Eternally, all that matters. But not only was he to speak, he was to speak consistently, appropriately, fittingly, becomingly. This is directly regarded to the things of the truths that matter when it comes to our relationship to our God and our Creator and how we became His child and how redemption came about. You speak about those things, Titus. Those are the things that eternally matter. You let those things dominate your conversation as you're going out to these different churches and you're working with setting up leaders. That's the doctrine that you teach. It is the blood of Christ that has granted complete and total forgiveness of all sin. That's the doctrine that you teach. It is not the fact that you are sacrificing a lamb anymore. That was only a foreshadow or picture of something much greater to come. Do you know that? He was to speak consistently. You make sure that what you say is consistent with pure, incorruptible doctrine that centers on me. And that is a high calling, by the way. And the only way to speak appropriately is by the Spirit's work and by us feeding on the Word. Refeeding and feeding and feeding on it. Let's pray. Our precious Father, we do thank you so much for the message that you give us in your Word. Over and over and over again, it's focused on the Lord Jesus. The new life we have because of Him. And if you have worked in our hearts, the blessings that we have, we cannot begin to fathom. We talk like it and teach like we know. But Father, I think they're far greater than we have a hint of an idea that we know. Continue through your Holy Spirit to open our minds and our hearts to the truths that are fitting, that are appropriate, that are pure in relation to your Word. Give us clarity of understanding in our thoughts and in our understanding of truth so that we will honor you properly, worship you properly, and keep appropriate biblical perspective as we live our lives in this short time on this earth. Thank you again for the blessings we have because of Christ and His work on the cross and now His being seated by you in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.